The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Rosemary Gazin.
In the headlines, mixed reaction to 2015 budget statement. Minority in parliament to vote against approval of budget. President Mahama pledges commitment to drafting and passage of broadcasting bill. A number of people feared death and others injured in road accident at Sofo Line in Kumasi. And World Bank reports paint gloomy picture of unemployment in Liberia as a result of Ebola. At first, the summary with Rosemary Gazi.
The 2015 budget statement presented to Parliament yesterday received mixed reactions from the two sides of the House. As expected, the majority believed the budget contained what can turn the country's economic fortunes around. The minority, on the other hand, saw it as business as usual. Meanwhile, Deputy Minority Leader and MP for Bimbila, Dominic Nituwo, has signaled that his side would vote against approval of the budget. A number of people are feared dead and others injured as a result of a fatal road accident last night at Sofo Line in Kumasi. An eyewitness said a truck, which supposedly had a brake failure, ran into a number of both stationary and moving vehicles along the route, which resulted in the accident. And the World Bank report has indicated signs of unemployment in Liberia as a result of the Ebola outbreak. According to the report, about half of Liberians have lost their jobs since the outbreak. A senior World Bank official said areas that have not been hit by the outbreak are also suffering the economic side effects of this terrible disease, hence the need to focus more on those areas with the required support.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
This bulletin and others can be accessed on our website, gbcghana.com. The news in detail. President John Mahama's promise to make senior higher education progressively free has been given a major boost, with plans to construct 50 additional senior high schools. Already, 73 of such schools are under construction and have reached various stages of completion. This will bring to total 123 of the 200 schools promised by the President during his State of the Nation address to Parliament this year. Presenting the budget statement to Parliament, Finance Minister Seth Tepe said President Mahama's agenda for quality, accessible, equitable and affordable education is ready to take off next year. The agreed roadmap, beginning with day students, has been adequately catered for in the budget.
President Mahama pledged to construct additional 200 secondary schools by 2016 is also very well on course. So far, Mr. Speaker, 50 of the schools are at various stages of completion. The 2015 budget has made provision for an additional 50 schools. Under the World Bank supported secondary education improvement project, an additional 23 new senior high schools are being constructed. Therefore, this means that so far, funding has been secured for 123 out of the promised 200 senior high schools. We remain very confident of meeting our target by 2016, while denying with our prudent fiscal policy of ensuring that all major capital projects will be fully funded.
Mr. Tekpe said Cabinet has approved the draft bill for a public university to be sited in the Eastern Region. This is in line with government's pledge to establish at least one public university in each of the 10 regions. He also gave progressive work in the two new public universities in the Bonohafu and Volta regions.
Cabinet has approved a draft bill for the public university to be sited in the Eastern Region in line with our pledge to establish at least one public university in each of the 10 regions. In addition, Mr. Speaker, it is grandly to note that this particular session of Parliament will be considering the Eastern Region University Bill. I am happy in this light to report tremendous progress in the new public universities at Rongahafu and in the Volta Region. In line with efforts to revamp technical vocational schools education to make it more attractive to the youth and also to support President Mahama's Made in Ghana initiative, the skills fund interventions under the Council for Technical and Vocational Education have so far dispersed 136.5 million cedis to 510 grantees.
You heard Minister of Finance, Seif Tetbe.
Meanwhile, there were varied reactions to the 2015 budget statement. While some MPs believe the budget contained goodies that will ensure a brighter future, others saw nothing new in the statement. The MP for Wajakbawi, Rosemond Abra, was not enthused about the attempt to put value-added tax on petroleum products.
Benefit.
I don't see any benefit. For the third time, if we add the review budget, what new has the budget introduced now? There is nothing the budget has for us.
Nothing.
I don't see anything good. Praying around with work, and there is nothing new. What is new with the budget?
The MP for Shai Osudoku and Chairman of the Works and Housing Committee, David Tete Suming, was glad water supply will be improved across the country.
For me, the key areas which I'm very happy about is that we are going to solve the water problem. You know, water has been a challenge for our people. And so if we are able to invest in the expansion of the foam waterway, and we've laid new pipelines, and we believe that at the end of this year, we are going to put this facility into operation, where people will begin to get adequate potable water to drink. Then I think that is a responsible government that is using the loans into profitable ventures.
Talking about loans, the minority side raised a placard which says they should stop corruption now. What do you make of that?
People who live in glass houses should not throw stones. These are the more corrupt people in this country that are asking government to stop corruption. Now we have agencies that are tracking corruption, and that's the reason why we are seeing people who are indulging corrupt acts. In those days, what happened? They were asking for evidence and things. Now the outstanding report is now being implemented, where people who are found capable are being prosecuted, and that is a responsible government.
Missouri said the earlier projection of increase in energy production has not been fulfilled. Rather, the situation has worsened.
In fact, one cannot tell exactly what is new there.
Are you sure there is nothing new in the energy petroleum sector?
The energy side talked about increasing capacity of power generation from 2,000 to 5,000, and it's still the same. Nothing has been added. What was added last year is still the same thing that is. In fact, there's a reduction because some of the plants have failed and they are not working. Of course, we have problems there. You go to Obuasi thermal plant, some of the plants are not working simply because of light crew problems. Some of them have technical problems that they have to solve.
I saw the minority holding placards asking for fuel prices to be reduced.
Yes.
Are you justified in asking for that to be done?
Well, certainly, because you look at the fuel price of crude come down quite significantly. Crude price several years ago used to be around 140, and now it's around $80 per barrel. And we think that that is a justification for a reduction, at least for a breather for the people of this country.
The member for North Dai, George Lowe, said the gas infrastructure is a savior for the nation, adding that government is using contracted loans judiciously.
For the first time in the history of this country, a gas infrastructure will come on stream. We didn't have it before. When we're going for that loan, you remember that they criticized us. Today, it is the gas that will eventually become the savior of the economy, because if the energy crisis must be resolved, the gas is key. If we must reduce how much money we spend to get energy across the people, it's the gas that will bail us out. So indeed, if all the things that the minister spells out in the energy sector, particularly in the gas sector, that is why he's saying that we are talking about a gas era. We are hopeful that the investment has been wise, the borrowing has been justified. We are borrowing and we have something to show for it. When they borrowed, they should also come and show us the evidence that they borrowed so much, and this is what they used it.
The deputy minority leader and MP for Bimbela, Dominic Nitiwo, said the minority will vote against approval of the budget.
I'm just confused where we are going, whether it is Washington that is ruling us or Ghana that is ruling us. I'm seriously confused. I don't think that is good for us. I think that the Washington guys have stamped their authority on us. They stamped their will on us. We are swallowing it like a ball of fufu, and our people are going to suffer for it. Because you see, the Americans are bringing us some money, but they are telling you that government should not subsidize anything that has to do with utilities. That is water, electricity, gas. We should pay full cost of the government. We are not Americans, for God's sake. IMF has come to say that, okay, you know what? You have to add 17.5% on petroleum.
Stop right now, man. You're
going to pay another 17.5% on petrol, on diesel, on premix, on kerosene, on gas. Where are we going as a country? And you want me and our side to support this bill? It's a very clear thing. When nobody supports it, we are going to vote against it. And if they will not agree, we'll walk out. We cannot be running a country like this.
Those were views of some MPs on the 2015 budget statement presented to Parliament yesterday.
Still on the budget, a ranking member on the Parliamentary Select Committee on Finance, Kwaku Kwarteng, has expressed disappointment about the silence of the budget on dealing with the energy crisis. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Kwarteng said the budget statement did not explain how the power outages would be resolved. He was reacting to the 2015 budget statement presented yesterday to Parliament.
Well, my overall impression is that the budget didn't meet my expectation. Well, the one problem that many Ghanaians are lamenting about today is the energy difficulties we are having, the erratic power supply. And going forward, it was expected that government would use this budget to indicate to the people of this country when the power outages will stop. We know what the issues are. We know that fuel supply has been a problem because the West African gas pipeline has not been supplying us with reliable gas. Government had indicated that it was no more going to depend on the WACP and that it was going to consider alternative ways of getting gas. I was looking to see in this budget what those alternative sources are and how we're going to finance the gas we get from those sources. There was nothing to that effect. The budget did not tell us how the Dumso is going to stop or when it will stop. It would appear that government itself doesn't know when. That was my first disappointment. The second disappointment was that in the beginning of 2014, government projected that economic activities will be expanding and by that jobs will be created at a rate of 8% for the year. During the mid-year review, government came and said, no, I cannot achieve the 8.0%. I think I can do 7.1% close of the year. It was disappointing, but perhaps we would accept it at that. Today, the minister said, no, we can even not do the 7.1%. In the end, we can do 4.7%. That is the rate at which economic activities would be expanded. We didn't get an opiated.
But Deputy Finance Minister Mrs. Mona Kwoti insists the budget will help stabilize fiscal discipline and raise extra revenue for development.
Well, I say that this budget is to help us to stabilize our economy. We've had some short-term challenges, as you all know, and it's time to stabilize the economy so that we can have a platform that we can leap on into the future, into the bright future that we have as a growing oil and gas producing nation. So we do need a budget like this to stabilize us and get us prepared for that brighter future.
But in trying to stabilize us and get us into that brighter future you're talking about, are we also looking at the ability of the person, the survival instinct of the ordinary Ghanaian?
You know, enabled to be able to do well in the future, especially in an industry like oil and gas where you need a lot of infrastructure, it means that you need quite a bit of capital. You either borrow the capital or you generate it internally. As of today, we have a budget deficit, which means that our expenditure is more than our revenue. Therefore, we need to do a lot of work on increasing our revenue, mobilizing our revenue efficiently, and reducing expenditure. In a bid to increase revenue, today's budget stated clearly that we would have improvements in our tax policy, improvements in our revenue administration, would also improve the management of public funds, expenditure rationalization, and finally implementation of a new debt management strategy to ensure that we don't increase debt servicing. So it's these measures that have resulted in some of the details that I know you're debating today.
That was Deputy Minister of Finance, Mrs. Mona Kwoti.
Still on budget and matters arising, the General Secretary of the Industrial and Commercial Workers Union, Solomon Kote, has expressed disappointment in the 2015 budget because it is not clear the direction government is going on labor-related issues. He said this means problems facing labor will be compounded. Speaking to Radio Ghana, he argued that the introduction of the special petroleum tax will further worsen the plight of workers.
As the direction that government wants to run with that one, if you look at the number of strikes that we have gone through this year, we're expecting a budget that will give you some responses and help us solve those problems. In the areas of, if you look at how the labor market investment, I mean, zero. Nothing is helping in the budget to suggest that National Labor Commission is being resourced. The Labor Department is being really looked at. So it's like the problems that have existed with us are going to be worsened with the compounding increases in fuel and other areas. Come to think of it, we are worried that this budget is looking like a manifesto of a government agenda. If you look at it, the pride to say we are bringing more fleet of vehicles. Is that what we need in Ghana at this point? We were also expecting that the total debt stock of the nation will have from the preamble statement, you know, of the minister. This were not also forthcoming. So as we get the details and want to look at it, the roadmap will help us to appreciate as to where exactly these budgets want to take us into 2015.
Kote is the General Secretary of the Industrial and Commercial Workers Union. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Mixed reaction to 2015 budget statement. Minority in parliament to vote against approval of budget. President Mahama pledges commitment to drafting and passage of broadcasting bill. A number of people fear dead and others injured in road accident at Sofo Line in Kumasi. And World Bank reports paints gloomy picture of unemployment in Liberia as a result of Ebola. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. President John Mahama has cautioned journalists to be mindful of their prime responsibility of cross-checking facts before publication. He said it is prudent that Ghanaian journalists adhere to professional ethics that meet international standards and not resort to sensationalism. President Mahama gave the caution at a national broadcasting conference in Accra to mark 20 years of the first private radio station in Ghana, Radio I. President Mahama pledged his personal commitment to the drafting and passage of the broadcasting bill. Pascalina Radavu has the details.
In 3 days, media players will deliberate on broadcasting pluralism, press freedom and democratic governance after 20 years. About 300 radio stations operate in Ghana after the airwaves were liberalized. But after these years, there are still loopholes like the absence of a broadcasting law, issues of content, ethics and professionalism. A policy analyst, Dr. Charles Wekubrobe, broke the jinx in the early 90s when he established private radio station Radio I. After 20 years, he shares some thoughts worth reflecting on.
But it's very sickening and frightening that 19 years on, we don't have a broadcasting law. There are issues of the behavior of the media, their professionalism, and many, many other things. I think after 20 years, we shouldn't just be happy that we have over 300 stations. We should be looking at whether we can put into place a sane environment in which broadcasting will prosper.
President John Mahama, a communicator himself, spoke strongly against the kind of yellow journalism trending currently. He said ownership should not determine the content of news. There should be clear distinction between journalism, entertainment and propaganda, while speaking against the engagement of untrained journalists who churn out false news and use of wrong grammar. He reminded media persons to see the profession as an art rather than a career.
Information is picked up from anywhere and just plunked into a story. Let me give you a hypothetical example. Let's say a Ghanaian is traveling abroad and is arrested with a substantial amount of cocaine. This is all the basic information that everybody knows as a fact. But the information is too skeletal. It needs more meat to become a story. In good journalism, what this means is that it needs
to be carefully researched. You begin to see the dangers that this type of journalism can pose to a society. And it's true that nobody reads retractions. Information is like a virus. Once it's released, it spreads indiscriminately. The damage that can be done is often irreversible.
President Mahama also spoke on how the Bureau of National Investigation, BNI, has recently been drawn into the mud by the media while performing its duty. He said the world has become a global village where information put on the web is accessible by everyone anywhere. According to President Mahama, competition among media houses to be the first to break the news is not healthy and detrimental to nation building.
Once it had been reported that this woman, who is not a diplomat, was in possession of a diplomatic passport, the Bureau of National Investigations had to perform its duties and begin its investigations. The BNI's investigations, research and fact-checking have been fruitful. We now know for certain that this woman was not in possession of a diplomatic passport. We now also have credible and verifiable information about her identity, and we're now able to stop the continued spread of misinformation. Nevertheless, nearly every media outlet in the country has reported on the BNI's arrest, in quotes, of media house editors and what has been described as government's flagrant violation of press freedom. Some of the stories have even compared Ghana to Somalia and Zimbabwe. This is hardly the company in which one would like to find oneself presented.
President Mahama paid tribute to the hundreds of journalists who lost their lives in the line of duty and also to those who suffered various brutalities.
Pascaline, other devil reporting.
Union leaders of Graphic Communications Group Limited have expressed their displeasure at management's decision to sack the Ashanti regional correspondent Daniel Kinu. The displeasure is about what management describes as disloyal and unilateral act by withdrawing his assault case, which was being pursued at the Kumasi Circuit Court. The Graphic Union leaders have scheduled a meeting today to discuss the next line of action. The dismissal letter, dated 17th of November, and signed by the acting director, Human Resource Justice Sapon, stated that Graphic Management had earlier written to Mr. Kinu, assuring him of his support, and had specifically instructed him to consult management on any action he wanted to take on the said case. The dismissal letter indicated that Mr. Kinu's failure to disclose to management his intention to discontinue the case has drowned the company's image. Thus, the letter noted, constitutes gross misconduct and disloyalty, hence the summary dismissal. The union leaders, however, say the committee which investigated Mr. Kinu's act did not establish a case of disloyalty against him, as stated by management in the dismissal letter.
A number of people are feared dead last night following a fatal road accident at Sofo Line, a suburb of Kumasi. Many others also sustained various degrees of injury, while a number of vehicles, mostly mini commercial buses, have also been destroyed. The accident occurred at about 7:50 p.m. According to an eyewitness account, a truck, which supposedly had a brake failure while descending a slope, ran into a number of both stationary and moving vehicles along the route, resulting in the injuries and death. Some personnel of the Sofo Line police station swiftly responded to the distress call to help. Victims were rushed to the Konfuanochi Teaching Hospital for emergency medical care.
Two armed robbers died yesterday in a shootout with the police at Tema Community 9. The robbers attacked the Forest Bureau at the Community 9 Meridian Zone in an attempt to rob them of their money. Briefing the media in Tema, the Tema Regional Police Commander, DCOP Beatrice Zakpa, said the police received a distress call that robbers had deceived the bureau trying to break their money safe. She said the police went to the scene and engaged the robbers in a shootout which resulted in the injury of two civilians.
The Ghana Anti-Corruption Coalition has launched the Patient Perception Index PPI report. The report aims to provide feedback to health service providers about patients' assessment with a view to improve upon their performance. Launching a report in Accra, the consultant on the PPI project, Roger Atinga, said a survey conducted at some hospitals in 40 districts across the country indicates that most health professionals, especially nurses, take patients for granted. We bring your report by Ritanyako, Asafa Kofbakpe.
One of the key objectives of the study was to determine patients' knowledge of their rights in the Ghana Health Service Patients Charter. The results showed that about 81% had never seen or heard of the patients' charter. Nevertheless, majority of patients reported that they know their rights. The report also showed that nurses sometimes spend so much time on personal engagement to the neglect of patients. Healthcare providers sometimes discriminate between or offer preferential treatment to some patients, especially when there are long queues. Mr. Atenga noted that healthcare providers should be given continuous sensitization to enable them to understand how their negative behavior affects quality judgment in the hospital. Also, healthcare providers, especially nurses, must be encouraged to be courteous, respectful, responsive, and tolerant to patients. This is because they are the key factors that patients look out for in assessing the quality of care received.
What we wanted to do is to think of healthcare delivery as one that is more or less patient-centered. In order to improve on healthcare delivery, leadership from both the Ghana Health Service and all other agencies and institutions in charge of healthcare delivery must be effective and well-functioning. If a patient reports to the administrator of a particular hospital that had been assaulted by a particular healthcare professional, what is the leadership initiative? What interventions or what measures can we take immediately to calm such a patient down? Think of the fact that I go to receive banking services and then things go bad for me. You go to complain, you get immediate resource, but it's not the case for healthcare delivery. So we need transformational leaders. Challenges can lead to frustration, but you don't venture that on the patient. I think we just need endurance training for these nurses. We understand the kind of frustration they go through, because imagine you get to a healthcare facility and you have 3 or 4 nurses that will take care of more than 100 people. Frustrations will begin to pile up, but we need endurance training. When I enter the banking hall and the cashier sees the queue being looking unnecessarily long, he doesn't shout at anybody. So why can't they do the same?
A research officer at GACC, Bryce Sowu, said they focus on healthcare delivery because it is a basic human right and there is a relationship between corruption and human rights. He said the research was also conducted to empower communities to demand better health service delivery in Ghana.
A report by Rita Nyako and Sarah Kofi.
Official proceedings in the trial of businessman Alfred Agbesiwoyome at the High Court in Accra has ended. Prosecution on the last adjourned date ended its cross-examination on Mr. Woyome. There was no re-examination from the legal team of Mr. Woyome. Presiding Judge Justice John Ajet Nassan has directed the parties to apply to the proceedings. According to Chief State Attorney Yvonne Atakura Obobisa, the state is up to date with proceedings from the automated court. Mr. Woyome was hauled to the Fast Track High Court's Financial Division in February 2012 on charges of willfully causing financial loss to the state and defrauding by false pretenses.
In foreign news, a survey conducted by the World Bank revealed that nearly half of all Liberians who were employed when the Ebola outbreak began are no longer working. It said many workers have been told to stay at home or have lost their jobs, while markets have been forced to shut. Earlier, World Bank economist said the outbreak was expected to cost the region about $3 to $4 billion.
And Zimbabwe opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai says he's deeply appalled by a damning report on Zimbabwe's 2002 elections that has only just been released in South Africa in his first public response to a report released only after a long court battle. Zimbabwe's Movement for Democratic Change leader accused Pretoria of wittingly or unwittingly aiding the subversion of democratic processes in Zimbabwe.
Now to emphasize the main points again. The 2015 budget statement presented to Parliament yesterday has received mixed reactions from the two sides of the House. As expected, the majority believed the budget contained what can turn the country's economic fortunes around. Meanwhile, Deputy Minority Leader and MP for Bimbila, Dominic Nitiru, has warned that his side will vote against the approval of the budget. The news was presented by Abraham Donko.
And